You pray for us, Steve, if you would. If you can.
Blessed Father, to thank you for the many blessings we've received this week from you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, if you will, just forgive each one of our sins that we have committed as well. For we are sinful, Lord, and we are wretched, and we know, Lord, that we are not worthy of anything that you can give, Lord, do for us. I ask for all this, Lord, in your name, that you forgive us. Please also, I ask, Lord, for a blessing on those people in Europe, Lord, who have lost their homes, and those who have lost loved ones in Germany and Belgium, Father. Be with those people, Lord, and strengthen and give whatever can be given, Lord, to straighten them out and get sorted, Father, please. I ask, Lord, too, Lord, for blessings upon Israel at this time, Father, Lord, that you would protect them on all sides, as you have promised, and never be split asunder ever again. Keep them safe, bless them, Lord, and their last desire, Lord, is that your children get saved as well. Please, Lord, grant them salvation. Through, Lord, please, if you will, bless this meeting tonight, Lord, and Lord, shoot us away from the world, Father, let's have a good time with you. Let us hear the sermon of your word, give your servant Mark the words to speak to us, Lord. And let it be a blessing or a chastising, Lord, either way, we know that you want us to do. Father, we ask all these things and give thanks, and for all the people that need a healing touch or a spiritual touch, Lord. I count myself in that as well, my Lord. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please just grant them, Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our medium-sized black books this evening. And we'll begin with number 9, hymn number 9 in the medium-sized black books. Or for the sake of simplicity, the wee black books. Black books matter. You okay?
We'll see how, yeah, I changed the music. We'll see how it goes.
All right.
I will meet you in the morning by the bright river's side, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long dreary day. I'll meet you in the morning with a "How do you do?" and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. Built for square, I will meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by, and exchange the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments, and nobody shall die in that land when life's on go. Smile that I wear when I made dew in the morning in the city that is built four square. I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way on the streets of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy for a while the years and the ages shall.
Be putting those wee books away if you want to scoot on to number 21. Wasn't that one of our other requests?
Yeah.
Well, love that will not let me go. Amen. Hymn number if you would, brother, come on you up and bring us the Bible.
Turn tonight to the book of Psalms, to chapter 29 and chapter 30. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sarian, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discover the force. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Continue on to chapter 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall I thus praise thee? Shall I declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and gird me for gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and may not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. About the some good verses there. Thank you, Will. Now, just want to remind everybody about our little red orange. our orange stroke terracotta stroke off red, a yellowy red coloured. Yes, please do remember to. Call out the names. I don't know about you. I certainly do need prayer during the week. And I would like to think that I was prayed for. You all are most certainly prayed for every day by myself. And I'm reminded of the words of Samuel whenever he said, God forbid that I should sin against him in ceasing to pray for you. Don't forget to pray for each other. The ones that are not mentioned here, again, just for the sake of completeness, is Taylor's travels to America in August for her visa. Please do remember that. It's around about the 25th, isn't it? Where Ling doesn't have to go to China to get her pension sorted out. We're glad of that. Dorothy Hamilton, which some of you may remember, is Norman's friend who had a scheduled cancer consultation that was cancelled and hopefully rescheduled. So please do pray for Dorothy Hamilton. Pastor McConnell's family, the minister down at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he passed away over the weekend. So please do pray for his family, if you would. Do pray for Will's granny. She has a kidney infection going on at the moment and would be happy to know that you're thinking about her. And do pray for Stan and his family up in Bangor. It's Stan and Karen and Mark and Samuel, I think, are now suffering with whatever's going around the house. It sounds like a flu, and we certainly hope it's not anything, not contagious, but contentious. So please do pray for the whole family and the rest of the folks in the church at this time. Even if I ever had an ordinary flu and not one of the corona flus, I would purposely not shake hands with people, because I saw me coming into church all wrapped up with my left hand pocket was full of folded toilet tissue paper, fresh stuff at the start of the service, and at the end of the service the right hand pocket was full of wet folded toilet tissue for me blowing my nose, and I wouldn't shake anybody's hands with that. And just pray for all of the Stuarts and their families, and young Jake and James as well, if you would, and pray that none of them end up with that. We pretty much have private prayer requests for everybody else, and that's about that. We didn't get tracking, and that was on me this week, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that next week. And two other prayer requests is for the church building and the sale of the land that the church is sitting on. We would appreciate your prayers for that. Norman just gave me a good pointer about maybe just calling in with the bank and just making a point of wagging their finger at me. And if they say why, I'll say Norman told me to. But please do pray about that, especially at this time. So, what?
I'm not laughing at you, but quite right.
Is it the thought of me standing like that? They're saying Norman told me to. I mean, Norman reminded me to, not Norman told me to. But yeah. Yes, indeed, we could certainly do with getting this all done and dusted and out of her hair. But there you go. Amen. I think that's about that, unless there's anything else. Yes, Steve? There's something.
Pray for the blood test for tomorrow for Pat and myself, please. Pray for good results.
Blood tests on Wednesday the
4th. Samantha, camera test on yesterday, so please pray for results. She is worried that she is more serious than we think it is.
For her? Hi indeed. Okie dokes. Samantha and Louise. All right.
Louise just for salvation.
Yep. I'm afraid those don't come from God. Those come from mummy and daddy, and I was going to say, and a swift left hand or a swift right hand, depending on your whether you're a lefty or a righty. But there you go. Right. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. And Lord, you know all of our prayer requests, especially for Dorothy Hampton. I'm sure she's got a lot in her mind right now. But we pray you too for Esther and for Tina, for Samantha, for Pat and Steve, even for blood tests that need to be taken. For all of these folks, Lord, that need consultations and tests and Lord, to point our health service in the right direction as regards treating them. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that I got through most, if not all of that before this all went pear-shaped. But Lord, please, I pray for these souls that we've mentioned and the others that we have in our prayers. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would save their souls. And Lord, that you would, if it would be your will, that you would heal them. I know it's definitely your will that they be saved. But I pray you, Lord, that you would convict them greatly, and not just them, but everybody, Lord, that needs to get right with you. I pray you, please, Lord, for no peace for those that constantly go against you, for a continual conviction and a reminder that you're good and you're great and you can reach a soul anywhere, Lord. Please. Please be with the leaders of our countries. Lord, please, I pray you preserve people's lives and sanities. Help them, Lord, to remember the lessons of the past year and a half and to fix their eyes on you. You never change. You're always there. And not in the things of the world, which are literally changing constantly. We pray, the Lord, for souls in foreign countries and for all the missions outreaches. And we pray especially for the kids for schools and for our own homegrown Christian Institute, Lord, that you would continue to support and to protect the folks that work there. Lord, we just love you and thank you. Pray that you would be one of our number this evening, that you would minister to each one of us, that you would just shut us in with yourself and help us keep our minds fixed upon you. Keep the old devil out, Lord, and just set a wall around about the church. Pray that you would fill the rest of the seats with seeking souls. Please be with Ling and Frank and Will's granny, especially Mum too. And Lord, you know. We love you and thank you. Thank you for your patience and long suffering. Thank you for your great salvation, Father. And thank you for your continued work in our lives. We leave this at your feet, Lord, and we pray you please that you would grant it according to your will. Amen. Amen. And whoever's praying next can remember to pray for the church, because I forgot. But the Lord knows. Amen. Right, let's take our hymn books. And Steve is going to come up and lead us in 20. No, Steve's going to sit down there and sing along with 24. Hymn number 24. I think we've only sung this a couple of, maybe three or four times, did we? Christy, you remember this one, don't you? He set me free.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confine. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Amen. That is a good song. That is a very enjoyable song. All right, we'll have a slightly more somber one in hymn number 31, if you'd like to take. And that was the other request, wasn't it? The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Hymn number 31, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And if you're able to stand, why don't we just stand as we sing?
Never, good shepherd, may I place within thy house forever.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Amen. You can actually see what I'm reading. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn this evening to Mark chapter 5, I'm going to look at verses 21 and onwards and spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of perspectives from Mark chapter 5 and begin at verse number 21. Mark chapter 5. There we go. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse number 21. The word of God says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned them about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto him, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We're taking all of that as our text this evening, and we're going to speak for a little bit on perspectives, thinking specifically on the raising from the dead of Jairus' daughter and all of the characters, the people involved in it, and how they saw things differently to what Jesus and indeed Jesus' followers did. So that's what we're going to be thinking on. I'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Christy, would you pray for us, please?
Lord, we are thankful again this day for an opportunity to come into your house, Lord, and be with your people who are under war. We pray and ask that you'd meet with us here, Lord, this time, this hour. We thank you in advance of the message, Lord. We ask and pray to guide each word and each thought of the preacher. Lord, you work in his heart even now, Lord, and when it's doing that, you'd work in our hearts as well. feed him and fill him, Lord, so that he can feed us and then fill us. Ask and pray and for heavenly wisdom and boldness, Lord, for strength, for compassion, for care, for tenderness as well. Lord, if you would just work a work amongst your people tonight, not only in this church, Lord, but every church that's open in your word, Lord, and preach in the full council thereof. Save the lost, Lord, strengthen your church, edify each saint, we pray, provide needs. Lord, just I pray for a revival in this land, for Lord, wisdom for our country's leaders, Lord, at this time, for protection of Israel at this time as well. Lord, for a calm of tensions, Lord, as well, in Israel and the Middle East. Lord, just be with Stan and families that are sick as well. Remember, Will's granny waits her during this infection. We pray you take it from her. Yes. Pat Steve's blood results, Lord, and Fernando with her lump as well. Dorothy Hamilton, the results needed there as well, Lord. Watch over Frank and London. Remember, Lord, the church is purchase of the land. We pray that you just provision each need there as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I didn't want to go back to the very beginning of this particular book in Mark, but I'm going to refer to it as we just have a very quick hop, skip, and a jump through all the circumstances until we get to Jairus. If you were to start reading in Mark chapter 5, it opens with the demoniac of Gadara. A man that... Honestly, after not that very long ago, doing a little bit of studying about the, not the parable of demon possession, but the process of demon possession, must have had a great number of times where he, by the just the sheer force of his will, tried to straighten his life out. And whether he invited them back in, maybe was there a deal done at midnight on All Hallows Eve for great strength and the fear to be put in people's hearts, regardless of how it worked out, he ended up with a legion of devils living in him. And basically, no man, that is no religious man, no military man, no medical man, was able to restrain him, to tie him down, to control him. He was literally that fierce. There was, however, a downside to all of that, in that he would spend his days and nights walking through the tombs, cutting himself with stones and crying out because peace of mind and contentment in your place in the hands of God is so great, in fact, that there's nothing that even comes close to being a substitute for it. And so after, you know the story, the devils, they enter into a herd of hogs, of pigs, and they run violently down into the sea, and everybody in the land comes to see what's going on, and they see this man that literally terrorized the locals sitting at the Lord's feet, clothed and in his right mind, listening to the Lord, asking him questions, I am sure, and begging him to take him with him. In other words, Lord, can I come with you? However, the people of the land didn't want Jesus there because you know what happens when Jesus comes into a house or comes into a country or comes into a town? It starts to show up the bad bits. It starts to show up the rebellions and the disobedience. So they asked him to leave, and Jesus, he already knew this was going to happen. He said, no, you need to stay and tell people about me. One of the very few cases in the word of God that the Lord actually asked the person that he just healed to go and spread the word. Many other times he says, don't be telling anybody. But of course they went out and said so anyway. So he gets back in the boat and he lands back. And this is where we come in. And a fellow by the name of Jairus. And this, we're talking about different perspectives. How the world looks at things and how God looks at things. And I know we sort of have a foot in the boat and a foot in the pier because, yes, we are of the world, but everyone that's saved is also of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can choose which way to look at things. That's why the devil is here, or the devil, the Bible is here to teach us what the way God wants us to look at things, and that's why the devil is also out and about constantly focusing our thoughts and our sights on the things of the world. And the more as the old story goes about the man with the two dogs, which that are always fighting, and someone asked him, which one always wins? He said, the one that I feed the most. And that's the way it is in our hearts and minds. The places that we spend the most attention, the things that we spend the most time, money and effort on, are those things that are closest to our hearts. And those are the things that will govern our perspectives. So, we have this man Jairus. And it would be a notable enough thing if it was just a man came to plead with the Lord for the life of his daughter for her healing. That would be notable enough. The thing about it is, this was another ruler in the synagogues. Not only did we have Nicodemus, and you have to read back in John chapter 3, come by night to see Jesus. This man Jairus, he came in the middle of the crowd. Everybody was going to see this ruler of the synagogue come to the feet of Jesus and ask him to heal his daughter. And that was a big no-no, because we all know that the religious people of the day hated Jesus because he threatened their power and their influence and their positions in society, their ability to govern even a small army. But there is a very true saying that whenever the rubber meets the road in life, that there are certain things that don't matter anymore. And when it comes to life and death, your position in society doesn't matter. Your wages don't matter. What other people think of you don't matter. Life and death is all that matters. And we see that in this man here as he comes to the feet of the Savior. I don't know how long it took him to build up the courage to go. I don't know how many reports he had to hear of the marvelous things that Jesus did. But we know one thing for certain. He came to the one man that could help him out. And so they start going towards Jairus' house. And this is where we meet the woman that only touched the hem of his garment. That's the one that Sandra requested. She only touched the hem of his garment. Mm-hmm. We meet this woman who had, goodness, it's all about perspectives. For 12 years had an issue of blood. And she had spent everything trying to get better. I am sure she'd gone to the priests and asked them to offer up prayers. She'd gone to the doctors and asked them to give her a potion or a medicine or whatever it was that would heal this issue of blood. She would have basically been unclean. Since she started having that issue of blood, she would have been marked by the priests as unclean. No one would have anything to do with her. No good people would have anything to do with that woman. She was basically on her own. And so, being on her own in the middle of this huge crowd, she heard of Jesus and she thought within herself, all I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. And I was reminded, even as we're speaking of this right now, of the words that Peter and the Lord shared together when the Lord was giving some of his final teachings to the disciples, and he took off his coat and he washed their feet. And what did Peter say? Lord, not just my feet, but my head also. And Jesus says, look, when I wash you, you're clean the whole bit. Your feet are washed, that's it. It was to be a spiritual lesson in that when Jesus saves you, you're saved completely and you don't need any more saving. The woman knew she didn't need to throw herself into Jesus' arms, and she didn't need to grab him and hold on with his arms. She only needed that little bit of contact with him. And that's all that we need in this day and age. And she was healed. Whenever we do, however, have that little bit of contact, there should be a change, shouldn't there? When we meet with Jesus, we don't see, like in some of these movies, we don't see planets breaking apart when the Lord deigns to speak to the needy soul. Lightning and thunder doesn't flash down, although I am sure there's at least one Christian has been saved in the middle of a thunderstorm with the fear of God being put in their hearts. But there will be a change, and it will be a noticeable change. And whenever this woman came to Jesus and Jesus dealt with her, there was a change. She was not unclean anymore. She was clean. And it's the same for us. Whenever we get saved, We're not unclean anymore. We are not just fit for the broad road that leads to destruction anymore. We are ready for the streets of gold, as if we were standing on them right away. We are made clean, and there'd be a change. The rest of the world, the doctors, the religious people of the day, they couldn't do a thing for her. Even those they were given many an opportunity to. It had to be the God of creation. Another lesson there straight away, and another lesson in human nature, that we are more likely to go to those things in the world that we can put our hands upon, that we can see with our eyes. And it's a very real learned response to get down on our hands and knees and pray first. And then if the Lord says, go to the doctors, go to the doctors. But maybe the Lord will say, I'll just put my finger on you and I'll fix you. We don't know, but we should go to him first. And so she gets healed. Mark heard about it. Mark seen it. He wrote it down, and so did at least one of the other writers of the Gospels. She wasn't unclean anymore, and she wasn't on her own anymore. She got written into the annals of history, and somewhere in this world, I am sure there are preachers talking about that wee woman right now. All because of her faith and trust in Jesus and her boldness to put her best foot forward. That's what it takes. Now we get to the real stars of the show, if you'll forgive me for using that turn of phrase. Just as the Lord and three of his disciples, Simon Peter and James and John, he only lets those three come with. As they're approaching the house, someone from the house comes out and tells them, it's too late. She's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. As I was reading this, I got to thinking, you know, we are in dire straits right now. I want to tell you, and I want you to bear in mind this caveat. Whenever we depend upon our secular knowledge before we depend upon the Lord, we do that. We're guilty of that today. We depend upon technology to give us a leg up, to give us more knowledge. Unfortunately, it doesn't come with wisdom. But we certainly depend upon it to give us more knowledge. We depend upon secular science to give us longer lives or better quality of lives, and sometimes just to preserve our lives. And it's good to have it there to lean upon, but sometimes people lean upon it to such an extent that nothing else gets a look in. God never figures in their lives at all. Whether it be science, whether it be knowledge, whether it be medicine, whatever it is. But if you got to thinking for just a moment, how many of the things that Jesus dealt with back in the day could we do now? Any of those things. If someone is dead for, 5 minutes, we can bring them back to life again. We've got defibrillators, we've got adrenaline, we've got CPR, we've got a host of things at our fingertips. If the person is like that in a hospital, I am sure there are a bunch of other techniques, even to shock directly the heart and get it pumping again. There's a host of things. Well, I want to tell you something, that not one of Jesus' patients ever had to go into respite care after the Lord dealt with them. When they were healed for free and for sure and for right then and there. There is a difference, even though we could attempt to do some of the things that Jesus did. And the Lord pretty much knocked all our wisdom and conventional thinking on the head when he waited until Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days? His body was just about ready to give up, and yet and all, the God of creation was able to call not only life but vitality back to his body again and put every cell in his body that had started to break down back together. We think in those three words, Lazarus, come forth. And we think that was pretty easy. But if you were to ask a doctor what it would take to bring a body that had been in the ground for a day, that's 4 days dead, back to life, he would say, it's impossible. It's worth remembering our different perspectives. Anyway, as they come to the house, someone comes out and says, she's gone. It's too late. And they hear the voices of family members and aunt mourners and neighbors, and they're greatly distressed because Jairus had just told them that he was going to get the Savior, the Messiah, this Jesus Christ that brought the wine to the wedding feast of Cana. That, goodness, he healed a woman in the marketplace. He cast demons out of the demoniac of Gadara. And they were greatly distressed and disappointed. I am sure Jairus was tugging away at his arm and maybe even begging and pleading with him as he turned around to speak to the woman with the issue of blood that had just recently been healed. And as far as they were concerned, it was too late. Maybe those minutes that he spent speaking to that woman, that might have made a difference. But she was gone. It was too late. Don't trouble the master any further. But you know, like our medical expertise and our science and all of the things that we know, literally standing on the shoulders of how many generations of great thinkers and engineers and builders, we are able to do so much more than our brothers and sisters of 2,000 years ago. The God that knows where every single atom in the universe is at any given time and knows exactly that that atom is doing exactly what he said to do is far above us again, like a man is to an ant. He says, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Just for a little bit. And they laughed at him. Says, we know she's dead. We know that there's no hope. There's no doctor in this world can call her back, can fix her. There's no medicine that can be administered to her that is going to bring her back to life. There is no prayer that will be said over her by our priests and our Pharisees that will restore her to life. Jesus says, don't worry about it. What did he say to Jairus? Only believe. There's a reason Jairus came to Jesus. He might not have believed an awful lot, but he believed a bit. And so they put everybody out. And Jesus calls her back to life. Talitha kumai, damsel, arise. And I am sure the weeping and the wailing stopped immediately in that room. I'm sure Jairus was starting to feel the tears welling up in his eyes, and his wife may even have been there as well. Maybe she was being comforted and crying her eyes out. But whenever Jesus called that little girl back to life, I can imagine it was a different church service the next Saturday. I can imagine instead of just going and sing, oh, I have to sing four songs, and then we have to listen to a Bible reading, and then he's going to witter on for half an hour, and then we'll be going home. I can bet you, I'm talking about my services. That's never half an hour, that must be somebody else's services. I'll bet you there were three different people that ended up in synagogue that Saturday. I bet you there was a mother and a father that believed, and a little girl that had seen eternity. I got to thinking too, how sad, sort of a mixed blessing for that wee girl. I get to see my mummy and daddy again, but you know what? I get to go through that all again. But imagine the accounts that she could bring back. I saw God. I saw Abraham, I saw Isaac, I saw Jacob, I spoke to Noah. I was just about to get the lowdown and everything whenever I heard the words, Talitha kumai, and I was called back to you. And the Lord said, give her something to eat. And life began again in Jairus' household. And all for one reason. Because they refused to listen to what the world said. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to be, we're not Luddites. We're not going to reject every single bit of modern technology and medicine. I know for a fact I am here today because of modern technology and medicine. And a few good people. But there are times when the world says one thing and we know deep down in our hearts that that's just wrong. When the Bible says something else. And we need to make up our minds. We need to make up our minds what way we're going to look at life. What way we're going to behave in life. Are we going to be God's children? Or are we going to be the God of this world's children? Which one is it going to be? The old devil, do you remember? Remember the old devil? He has kids in this world too, you know. The Lord said about the scribes and the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. And you're exactly the same. My goodness, are we going to listen to what the latest teachings from the Methodist Church, for instance, are? It's okay to be married, to be marrying a man to a man or a woman to a woman. That's okay. I am sorry, but God has quite plain teaching in this. He says a man shall cleave to his wife. That's a biological man to a biological woman. And it doesn't matter. You can dress a man up as a woman. It still doesn't make him a woman. You can fix a bulldog and it doesn't make it a she-dog. Every single cell in your body says you're either a man or a woman. And if some church wants to get in with some government and get a grant or two in its back pocket because they'll stand up and say, yes, we believe that it's okay to endorse homosexual marriage. They're still wrong. And the world still needs people to remind it that it's wrong. Because somewhere out there, someone is depending on you to say, hold on a wee second. When you sit down and think about this, when you don't have your activists shouting in that ear, when you don't have the government shouting in that ear, and you sit down and think about it, you're wrong. And I'm not telling you that to browbeat you, and I'm not telling you that just to say you're wrong, because we hate being told we're wrong. There's a wee bit in us that rears up whenever we're told that. It's the same wee bit that rears up whenever you lose. Isn't that right, Brother Steve?
Steve yourself.
Yes, indeed. It's always nice to win. And we don't like to lose. But people need to be shown that the God that we worship has a perfect way of doing everything in this world. Even for us imperfect creatures. He has a perfect way to speak to people. He has a perfect way to treat people. He has a perfect way to live your life. To walk down the road. He has a perfect way to do your work honestly. With integrity. He has a perfect way to treat your spouses and your loved ones. With love and natural affection. To treat the brethren. To treat the Lord God Almighty. And it has been shown time and time again, even in this church, that your life is better when you have the Lord in it, when you do it His way, when you adopt His perspective. There was one man in particular, a couple of men actually, whom if he had stuck with the leafleting, if he had stuck with the church attendance, his family would be in one piece and he would be serving the Lord. But today he wrecked his family, shacked up with a woman from another country, and left his wife and kids to their own devices. All their families are out of church because they refuse to do things God's way. And they're not doing well. Not one of them. So friends, sometimes it's not easy to admit that you're wrong. As you read, and I pray that you do read the Word of God, those stories are amazing because there's so much in them. When you read the Word of God and the words of our blessed old book, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong compared with the way you live your life, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. You should be, not only, you should have two things. You should be glad that God loves you enough to show you. It's like God, someone walking up and putting their arm around and saying, look, if you keep walking down that road there, the road's out, you're going to fall flat on your face. You'll be injured. You would say, thank you for showing me that. But whenever the Holy Spirit does that to us, sometimes, who does he think he is telling me what to do? Isn't that the way we go? It is. We should be glad. I might not be the most delicate of preachers, but if there's ever a thing I mention here and it irks you, check it in the Bible, and if it's true, you've got a problem with God, not with me. We should be glad that God is still taking the time to work on our lives, to convict us, to chasten us even, to, in order to change, to take our eyes off of the world and to set them on him. And we should endeavor then to get over ourselves and to do it. It's not an easy thing because we don't like being told what to do. But as the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It was made for you. It's perfect for you. And God's not a dictator or a tyrant. He's a loving father. He wants the absolute best for us, and that'll only ever happen when we do things his way. I'm going to close with Romans 8 and 28, which say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, in other words, if you're saved, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's the best way. It's the best way. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And we're down to the singing part. Number 19 in the hymn books, if you'd like to take and turn there. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And if you're fit, let's stand as we sing.
Blood shall never lose its power.
sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy glowing wounds applied. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy part to save. When this furless thing stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this furless thing stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Amen. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, for the lovely weather, for each family that's represented here, Lord, and we're not forgetting those that aren't here. We pray you, Lord, right the way across the world. I know there's some places will only just be warming up for a service now. Bless and keep and edify and teach and provision. Protect and chasten, Lord. Please provide us our daily bread. Bless us as we go our separate ways, Lord. I pray you ready to meet the week. And Father, please save soul and use us. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.